Have you heard what those Christians are doing? It's disgusting. Oh my Zeus, I just think about it, it makes me, just it's gross. See, they are involved in some really, like, odd things. I heard from my uncle's neighbor's friend's dog sitter that he followed one of those Christians, one of their meetings in those little rooms they meet in, and he listened outside the door, right? And in the service they did a lot of talking and a little bit of singing, and then there was one of them, he was talking about eating a body and drinking blood. It was gross. And then you wouldn't believe it. He watched as they left the thing, and one of them had a bandage on their hand. Oh my Zeus, that is sick. That is sick and wrong. And another one of them looked like he was missing part of his finger. Think about that. Next time you associate with those kind of people, because you know, you've heard about these Christians. They are not patriotic. Do you know this? When we gather and we say Caesar is Lord, three little words, it's like the thing that we do here, because you know we're in Rome. Come on, people, act like Romans. We say Caesar is Lord, and they won't say it. They say some other. Have you heard what they say? They say this other thing, or they don't say anything at all. These people, who do they think they are? That they're so special that they get to kind of opt out of the things that form us as an empire. It's sick. You say you've got a neighbor that's a Christian? And you said they're nice? Well, don't be fooled. We don't know about these people. We don't know about what they're up to. No. We don't know. Because see, do you know what the word Christian means? It means little Christ. Like these people, they're just running around like little Jesus drones. Like they just want to be like a little version of Jesus. Like, that's weird. I mean, and they're following some dead Jewish teacher. Like, oh my Zeus, I mean, can't they like get a real God? What's wrong with them? We need to build a wall. Oh, that's right, we already have a wall. We need a bigger wall. We need like a really, really big wall. Yes, and we need maybe like better screening at the borders, because these people, we're just going to tax them, make them pay for the wall. I'm serious, because we got to watch out for them. These people are horrible. We can't trust them. We don't know who they are. Who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? These special people living in different ways, not following the Roman ways. It's weird. Don't trust them at all. I hope you don't. You're not a sympathizer, are you? No. We got to keep our eyes open. They're not one of us. They're not one of us. They're just living different, wrong, and freaky, and weird. Keep your eyes open. In case you see one. Now here's the point. All of us, in the first century church, they were dealing with issues of slander. There were stories going around, and slander is when you have things that they're half true, you know, and they get kind of pushed in other directions. You don't hear the whole story. Now, here's something that's true about slander. All of us are going to face situations where somebody is slandering us, where somebody's, you know, they're talking bad about you, they're talking smack about your mama, they're doing something, and all of us are going to face it, maybe in big ways, maybe in small ways, and none of us like it. Are we on the same page? No fun at all. Now, so when we face slander, situations where people are speaking ill of us, or there's gossip going around that's, you know, that can affect us in some ways, we're going to respond in at least humanly one of three ways. So let's talk about that. The first way that you might respond is you might be one of the kinds that wants to hit back. Like, you want to just get back at them in some way. Like, maybe you're thinking about all the different ways, without actually slashing their tires, you can let the air out of the tires in their car. Or maybe you're the kind of person, you're like, I'm not good with words, no good work, but I can express myself. I can let you know what I'm thinking. I know, it doesn't look real intimidating when I do it, but act like it is, okay? All right. Check that out. Yeah. Okay. So some of us are hit back people. When you're under stress, you're hit back. Raise your fist high if you're a hit backer. Come on. You got a plan, you got a plot, you can do something about that. Okay. Hands down, all hit backers. Okay. Some of us respond in the second way. In other words, we're in the zinger crowd. We're good with words. It's a little demon wonderful phrases form in the back of our mind when their filter is off. Things we can say, like, I could post something on your Facebook wall that it'll strip the makeup off your grandmother. I mean, this is good. This is going to be good. People are going to be talking about this. It's going viral, folks. You got words. You got words, and you can use them to hurt. You're a zinger. Now, if you're a zinger, just say back to me loud and proud. I know you are, but what am I? Come on. A little more. If you're a zinger.
I know you are.
Excellent. Oh, it hurts so much. You got me with that one. Wow. Okay, so, and then there's a third human category. Third category that we fall into, and that's we're hiders. In other words, if somebody's coming at us with something that's untrue, we just assume that it is. And so I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands because you wouldn't put them up anyways because, you know, you figure it was your fault. So people are talking smack about you, they're talking smack about your mama and the whole thing, and you're just going to retreat. You're not going to engage. You just want a bedroom to shut the door and, like, covers to hide under and, like, just... maybe it'll go away. So that's the human response. One of us we're going to have one of those things that we're going to experience. But see, as Peter is counseling the early church in a situation where Christians were being slandered and being persecuted, I mean, they're being fed to the lions, they're being dipped in oil, lit on fire. Nero was a horrible, ruthless tyrant. He gives them a fourth option, and it's one that we, in our own power, we can't do. But if we lean on God for strength, and we're going to talk a bit about this today, if we can lean on God for strength with this, it has the power to change the world. And it gives us credibility in culture. So when we talk about Jesus, people will listen because, see, humanly, we don't do this. And here's the idea that Peter launches, is that when you are slandered, rather than doing the hit back zinger, you can, what's the word? You can bless. And so as John comes up and reads from 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be verses 8 through 16. I invite you to open up your Bibles or your Bible apps. And actually, after you do, I invite you to stand just out of reverence for God's word. I want you to listen for that word. Bless, yeah. Listen for that word, bless. What does it mean to bless?
Hear the words from Peter, our brother. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit the blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander.
Amen. Thanks, John. And please have a seat. Let's walk through this. Let's walk through this. So Peter is writing to these churches that are being slandered and Christians that are feeling the pressure of that. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. In other words, as you're looking to bless people, make sure you start with each other. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, bless you. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with, what's that word, the big word of the day? Blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Then he starts quoting from the Psalms. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Can I see your eyes? Okay. See, sometimes it looks like those that are cutting corners and doing the wrong thing and making moral compromise, they're doing evil. Sometimes it looks like they're getting ahead here on earth. Right? Heaven does not see things the way that we do. And getting ahead from God's perspective looks very different than man's perspective. So the scriptures promise us that God sees the heart. He sees not only what we do, but why we do it. He knows you. He knows me. He knows us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You can pull the wool over people's eyes. You can get away with a lot of stuff. But you can't fool God. That's good news. And it's scary. You can pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes. You can get away with a lot of stuff. But God knows, and God sees. Then he says, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Answer is, some people are. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Then he says, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. And it reminds us of why we do those things. Why we hit back. Why we send the zinger. Or even why we hide. Why? Because we're frightened. So don't be scared. He reminds us that when we are followers of Christ, we can live in an eternal perspective. We can remember that whatever we face today, here and now, it's just for a little while. Tap your neighbor and say, it's just for a little while. Just for a little while. No matter what hardship you face, it is. No matter what blessing you experience right now, it is for a little while that the world we live in now is temporary. We have just a few years, a few short years on earth, but there is an eternity to keep in perspective. So don't be frightened. Don't be scared. And then it gets to this next phrase. This is a passage I hope you memorize. We've been putting it on the screens around the building. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Why do you have the hope that you have? Be ready to answer. But do this with gentleness and what's that word? Respect. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ, and some will, may be ashamed of their slander. Now, if you're like me, this is one of those verses that you might have memorized growing up. You know, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And it's one of those good reminders like, okay, God could call you to be a witness to him at any moment. So, you know, you're at the bus stop, so there's going to be, there's an opportunity to witness. You're in your office, there's potentially an opportunity to share the love of Christ. You're sitting at your desk in school, there could be an opportunity at any moment to be sharing the love of Christ. So always be ready, and that's good. That's a good reminder. We sometimes miss the part of this passage that is the key to how we can respond to grace, even in times of conflict and hardship and slander. It's the first phrase. Let's see it again. I put a little accent on there. But in your hearts, revere Christ as what?
Lord.
As Lord. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Just hold out your hand for a moment. I'm not going to make you do anything weird with it, but... Well, maybe, but... Who holds your life in his hands? Just whisper the name. Who is the one that knows the number of your days? Just whisper his name. Who's the one that there's nothing that has come into your life, whether that be good or whether that be bad, that did not first pass through his fingers? Because he is ultimately in control. What is his name? Just whisper it. So whether you're having a good day or whether you're having a bad day, whether things are going in the ways that you hoped or the ways going in ways that you hoped they wouldn't, whose hands are you in? Now the knucklehead that you're confronting, who holds them in his hands? Just whisper his name. The person that's been bad-mouthing and slandering you, the situation that seems out of control, who is the one that numbers their days as well? Just whisper his name. That situation that feels like it's desperate and hopeless, whose fingers did it pass through before it came to pass? Just whisper his name. When we remember whose hands we're in, it gives us a capacity to respond to the knuckleheads in our life. You can insert better words than knucklehead if you really like. Especially you zinger folks, you've already got good words. But it gives us a capacity to respond with grace and respect. And even when faced with evil, doesn't mean we need to respond with evil. Instead, by the power of the one who holds you in his hands, we can respond with blessing. So I want us to take a look at a couple of questions. So when you're on a long journey, doing something hard, and you do know that anything that is meaningful in your life is going to be difficult. You understand that, right? Let me see your eyes again, just in case you're tuning out, okay? Anything that you do in life that is meaningful and important is going to be difficult. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm just going to follow Jesus, and that means everything's going to go great. That's not so. The devil would love for you to believe that, because then you're going to give up the moment you face resistance. And as soon as you start doing something of spiritual significance, I promise you will face resistance. In fact, more important than me promising, this book promises that you will face resistance, because all of the heroes of faith, the men and the women that followed God and made a difference in their life, made a difference in their culture, all of them faced hardship. So what makes you think that you're exempt? Every important thing you face in life will be difficult. So the question is, how do you endure? So I wanted to bring a resident expert in endurance. At least I think she's amazing with this. Mary Gandy. I'm going to make you come all the way into the light here. All right. All the way up. Yeah. Now it's kind of scary up here, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Well, I know of it. They're relatively nice. Okay. So Mary is an Iron Woman athlete, right? So when you're doing like an Iron Woman thing, how many miles do you swim?
You swim 2.4 miles.
Okay.
You bike 112 miles, and you run 26.2 miles.
Now, I'm not really an expert, but that sounds like a long way. It's a long way. It's a long day, right? Yeah. So, how long do you have to train to do something like this? Can I just say, hey, I want to do an Ironman thing and get another six-pack of donuts and I'm ready to go? Or?
Well, you might finish, but it would hurt.
You're pretty bad. Yeah. So when you're doing, like, because, I mean, even this year, you've run, like, marathon-level distances. I know you did a 50K about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So when you're doing, like a long run, what's going on in your mind in order to keep going? Because I imagine at some point it probably hurts. Right?
Besides weird.
I'm not a medical expert. It hurts? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it hurts.
Well, it's several different things. It kind of depends where I'm at in the race, but sometimes I break it down, like you were talking about. So for a 50K, I know this sounds kind of silly, but I'll say, well, this is really just 5 10Ks, actually. So kind of tricks my brain
right. A
little bit into being something different. Other things are my kids are always there at my races, and they endure all the training with me. They have to get up early with me sometimes in the morning or suffer through whatever I'm doing, and so I always make sure that they're there. But then seeing them there really keeps me going, knowing that I'm going to see them at different spots.
Yeah, because you're looking forward to, okay, just 1 mile from now I'm going to see them. And
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of like that whole, like, you know, like we need a community of faith to endure.
The other day too, another thing is that in some points of the race, just seeing people out there cheering for you, it's really amazing. It isn't, I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm so great, they're cheering for me, but it's amazing that you can be 10 hours into an Ironman race and you're tired and you're out in the heat and there's no one out there and people are walking and it feels like a death march. And then you come into town in Coeur d'Alene and there's thousands of people and all of a sudden you could run, and it's like where you didn't think you could run a mile before.
Right.
And it's just amazing how much us encouraging each other can build us up. So then if you transition that into life and, okay, what if I just, you know, said, well, hey, Andrew, nice shirt today or something, you know, just encouraging each other more.
Well, I feel better already. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
But how much that can lift us up.
Yeah, it really can. Yeah, that encouragement is not some little thing. It makes a difference between finishing or not finishing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Give Mary a hand. And do talk to her about lessons of endurance. I mean, she's been there. So as we think about how these same principles they apply in our spiritual lives and our relational lives as well. I want you to think about the next question. So who can you bless? Who can you bless? If you want to build your faith muscle, could you understand that the whole everything that's significant you do in life, that it's going to be hard? You know that. If you want to really grow as a Christian, it's not about being nice to the people that are nice to you. You want to really grow in blessing? I'm going to challenge you a little bit. This is going to hurt, but hey, things that matter do. Think of the name of a person that if you were to see their name come up on your caller ID on your phone, you'd get a pit in your stomach. Or you see an email from them, puts a pit in your stomach. You really don't want to talk to them because they're a knucklehead. They've been mean to you. They've been talking smack about your mama, or probably a whole lot worse. And you would love to respond with a zinger. You'd love to respond with getting back at them. Or maybe you'd love to just hide. How might you bless? Maybe that blessing is just to pray for them and pray something good for them. Maybe it's a tangible act of kindness. Who is somebody that you can bless? That's how we stretch and build our faith muscles. That's how we build endurance, and we cannot do it alone. Fortunately, just look around. We're in it together. And so as we get ready for Easter, and we think about how this applies not just to our lives individually, but to corporately, I mean, you realize Easter is a time where chances are, if you invite a friend to church, somebody that maybe they're unchurched or they don't know the Lord or whatever, or you don't know, you don't really know where they are, chances are, if you invite them to church on Easter, chances are they're going to come. They're going to say yes, or at least they're not going to be offended by it because they kind of know that Easter is a big deal. Who are some people you are praying for now? Because who would like to see some people come to the Lord? Who knows that when Christ gets a hold of somebody's heart and life, that things can really and radically change? That people find hope and help where they think they had none? And you want to spread that around. This is a tiny bit off topic, but I think it's going to make sense. One of the reasons I'm really excited for Easter is because, you know, as we invite and we welcome our community, is I think we're ready to welcome a whole lot more people. God has been doing great things in terms of the core life of our church right now. We've got a strong leadership team. We've got a strong staff. Our connection groups are doing great. Our children's ministry, our youth ministry, they're doing great. And we've got room. So there's a challenge that we have as a church in our valley that I think we can do something about. Now, would you put up the before picture? So if somebody drives by our church like about 3 days ago, they would see something a little bit like that. And so if you say, hey, I'm going to Columbia Grove, they'd say, there's a what? There's a where? But by the warehouse? What's that? I mean, from the highway, we have thousands of people drive by every single day, and most of them have absolutely no idea that there's a church there. Now, we put up the biggest sign that we can by code, which is the sign that you see out there with signs. But we discovered recently that there are no limitations on landscaping. Think with me. Now, we have a little phrase that we use to kind of remind us of what we're all about. We call it Love Like Jesus. Many of you are wearing it on your wrists. I wonder what it would look like if the Hillside maybe looked a little bit more like that. That would, of course, would be 19, 20-foot tall letters. And I think that everybody in the valley might have a way of knowing that there's a church in town that really wants to reach out. So really some serendipitous things have happened since we started launching the idea, including that's why yesterday the hillside that looked a little bit like the before picture now looks a whole lot like this, because people are already stepping forward. So heavy equipment has already been donated. People are already recontouring the hill. It looks a whole lot more like an outdoor amphitheater than it does a desert. That's pretty cool. So in a couple weeks, we're looking to lay down some letters. So that the week before Easter, you would bring or gather, and we'll have some here. I'm not sure how we're all going to figure it out, because I'm not the one actually figuring out the details of the project. You should be grateful for that. But to lay down some rock, and we're gonna paint it, and maybe do some other things with it too, so that it lights up even, well, glows actually. Let your light so shine. There's some verse about that somewhere. So the community can know what we're about. Now, of course, it's just one thing to put up a sign. It's another thing to actually live it out. But I'm seeing you do that. That we are a church that is looking to love like Jesus. That is looking to be a blessing to our community in so many different ways. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about this project, how you can be specifically involved, because especially we need a bunch of people like burly girls, you know, in the congregation, some people that can, you know, like love the Lord with a chainsaw and shovels and stuff like that. Paul, would you stand up? Paul is our project coordinator for that. Talk to him. Next week, I don't have all the details yet, because I got to get all the smart people around the table to figure out the plans. I'm not one of them. But next week, there's going to be a work party, and 2 weeks from now, the hillside's going to look like that. That's good, isn't it? plus a whole bunch of other things that you've been sharing over the past few weeks as we've been asking about ways that we can reach out and ways that we can make just get the message of the love of Christ out to our valley. Are you excited about Easter? Yes, me too. So as the band is coming up, I want us to pray. I want us to take some time to pray. Because as we're looking to apply this idea of being a blessing in our life, even and especially in situations where we might be insulted or slandered. You know, where it starts is with a relationship with Christ. Because some of us, you come to church because you want to be good. That's, so you're like, I want to be a good person, so I'm going to go to church. And so you've been trying harder and harder and harder and putting more and more pressure on yourself to try to get your act together, to try to do right, to try to be good. And I'm here to tell you today, stop trying so hard and start trusting a bit more. In your heart, revere Christ as Lord. He is the one. He is the one that can bring about the kind of life change and heart change that allows us to respond with grace rather than with anger. Amen. He is the one that can keep you from the zinger and let it die so that your life can be a blessing. Amen. You want to slash their tires, but he'll help you to not do that and actually do something that will change their life instead of doing that. Yeah. So, before we pray about the hardships, and I'm sure there are stories around them. We got knuckleheads in this world, right? We got knuckleheads in our lives and people that are smack talking and people that would hurt us. But it starts with this. We've got to start with trust in Jesus. Like every head to be bowed, all eyes closed just for a minute. Because for some here today, you've been keeping Jesus at arm's length. You've been trying hard to do it on your own. And maybe anybody around you would even see you as a good person. But you've been flying solo. And maybe today is the day that you're going to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to turn to you for strength. You be the one who changes me. And so just want to give you an opportunity to ask Christ into your life, whether for the first time or for the first time in a long time. And I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I do want to pray for you. So if you are making a recommitment to Christ, or maybe a first time commitment to Christ, let's just make eye contact. Just you and me. Just you and me. Okay. Yeah, I see you. I see you. And I see you, and I see you, and I see you too, in the back. And I see you, and I see you, and I see you. And Jesus loves you more than you could ever imagine. And so as we welcome some new or returning believers into the Lord's kingdom, Christians, let's pray together. We're going to pray out loud. Just so that as people are recommitting their lives and as God is doing His transforming work in them, that they're not put on the spot. So let's pray out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the source of strength in our lives. That you are the one who forgives us. That you are the one who makes us new people. That you are the one that has purchased heaven for us. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's doing a powerful work and lives are being changed. But we need to keep praying too. Because for some of you, where you are in your walk right now is you are deep in the struggle. So when we're talking about slander, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is where you are, and it's a present reality. So I want us to pray for each other with that. So if it's appropriate, grab the hand of somebody next to you, okay? If it's appropriate, grab their hand. Lord, you know that we face hardships and trials. You know that there are times that we experience those that are opposing us, that are looking to shut down your work, that are looking to malign it, that don't understand it, that are talking smack about us. Oh God, in Jesus' name, give us the strength to respond with blessing. Give us the strength to respond with grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we're going to sing? Because just imagine if the church was known as a place where people experience blessing rather than condemnation. Just imagine with me if the church was a place where people would experience kindness no matter where they came from, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Can you imagine a place like that? Would you like to be a part of something? Are you awake? I mean, seriously, would you like to be a part of something like this? Because movements like this can change the world. And God is calling you and me and us to engage in His work in the world, because there are people that are distant from God that if we engage and if we are bold to reach out and if we are bold to share the message, will come to Christ and their lives will be changed for eternity. Is there anything more important than that? No, no, no. So let's commit ourselves to the work of God and trust that He can use us. All right, we got to do some singing, huh?